Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good evening and welcome to another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you have joined us on this 2nd of April 2012. That's right, the 2nd of the month. I had thought about pulling a prank on you folks for April Fool's Day, and I almost did it. But I thought again, and I had second thoughts about it, and you know, after all, it is a day late and a dollar short, so I decided I'd hold off this year playing any pranks on my listeners, but watch out for next year. I'm going to cook up something really big. I've got a whole year to plan it, so be on the lookout for it. But happy April anyways, everyone, and we're glad that you've joined us here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and police organization. And as always, we are glad that you have joined us on this Monday evening, or Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, wherever you might be, because we do have listeners around the country. We have a great show for you tonight. Sean Riley, founder and executive director of SafeCall, will be my guest tonight on the program in a little while. We'll be talking about an excellent benefit, something that is crucial in the public safety, law enforcement, private security arena. And is a benefit that we're going to be adding to our membership in the upcoming months. So we're very excited about having Sean on the show, and we'll be bringing some other information about this to you in the upcoming weeks. So we're very excited. We have several other membership benefits that we're adding in the upcoming months, and we're rolling right along. We've got tons of stuff happening here in the month of April as well. April is a huge, huge month for us here at Private Officer International. It's a month like none other, actually. We have so many events scheduled. April is our time when we hold out a lot of awards. And we are excited about that. You are on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Hello. Hello. Well, we got disconnected. But we have so many things planned in the month of April. April is our awards month every year. We have an awards benefit. And this is an opportunity for you to nominate those coworkers, employees, friends, and possibly even yourself for an award. And it could be for a number of different things. All that you have to do is go to our main website at www.privateofficer.com and click on the link and nominate today. Those awards will be announced April the 5th. So you have until April the 22nd to get those nominations in. Also in April, and by the way, you do not have to be a member of the association to be nominated for an award. Anyone is eligible for that award program. So go to our website again at privateofficer.com. Also in April, the board of directors nominates and also inducts the Private Officers Hall of Fame inductees for 2012, and we're very excited about that as well. That's coming up April the 25th as well, and we're always delighted when April rolls around because we have so much happening. This will be the third year, actually, that we have been able to induct those deserving folks into the Hall of Fame, and we're very excited about that. We've inducted 17 people so far, and you know, 3 years ago when we looked at doing the Hall of Fame, everyone in every industry had one except for private security, and we decided that it was time to change that, and it was one of the best things that we've added to our organization. And so that's coming up April the 25th as well. Also, in the month of April, we have on the 26th, 27th, and 28th, we have the second annual virtual trade show and jobs fair. That's right. It is going to be an expo, a convention, just like if you'd gone, in person to an area convention. We'll have a number of seminars being held. We'll have an exhibition hall where you can purchase items from our vendors. We have a number of special guests who will be there, and it will all be from the comfort of your home or office online. But you must register today at www.privateofficer.com. You can also rent space in the exhibit hall if you'd like to showcase your services or products. Just $99, very inexpensive. $59 if you are a member of POI. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com for more information. And we have a caller. Let's see if we can get him on the line this time. You're on the Private Officer Talk Radio. Hello? And I guess we lost that person on the cell phone. But we have a number of other happenings in the month of April. We have also coming up several live seminars that we're doing. We have tons of opportunity for you as a member or a non-member to be involved in the organization. For more information, just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. It's an exciting month. We're also making preparations right now for our annual Private Officer Memorial Week. That is held the third week of every September this year. That will be September the 16th through the 22nd. We have some exciting things planned. We always hold a number of memorials, but we're also putting together a possible cross-country trip, and we'll be telling you more about that in the upcoming weeks and months. But plan to hold a little ceremony, a little recognition in your company, in your community, and if you need more assistance on that, let us know. Contact us at privateofficer.com, and we'll be glad to help you out with that. But we have tons of stuff happening here in the month of April. And if that wasn't enough, we're also going to be putting together several live tabletop events for April and May where you'll have a chance to get involved in figuring out how to respond to or how to act in a certain situation, a scenario that we'll put together, and we'll be able to figure out the do's and don'ts and how to proceed right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio. We'll be telling you more about that also in the upcoming months. And a lot going on, huh? That's not even all. We have a ton of stuff happening. We'll be telling you more about that coming up next week. So be alert. Be ready. Tons of stuff happening.
Hi, I'm Jesse James Leha. In my championship victories, it took training, planning, and these hands to give me the protection to survive and win. But out here in the water, this life jacket gives me the protection to survive and live. Don't take chances. Make sure everyone on board wears a life jacket. Wear it. Puéntalo. Do it for your family.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
All right, you're back with us on the Private Officer Talk Radio. We've got a great show coming up. Sean Riley, the founder and director of Safe Call, a crisis intervention and suicide prevention service based in the Seattle, Washington area, will be with us. We'll be discussing the services, the backstory, how it came to be, and how it will really benefit us in the private security industry in the upcoming weeks, months, and years as we add this as a benefit. As you probably have seen or heard already today, shocking news coming out of Oakland, California. 7 people are dead, several others injured after a gunman opened up in a classroom at an independent university early this morning. Police say that the suspect, a former student, fired more than 30 rounds, evidently killing a number of students on the university, and then shooting his way as he made his way across the campus. Police have not said whether or not the gunman is included in the 7 dead, but my understanding is that he may be. We're keeping tabs on this, and we'll be bringing you more on this as we get it. Also this week in Miami, Florida, police say that 14 people were shot to dead over the weekend at a funeral. The attendees of the funeral were exiting when drive-by shooters began opening fire. Miami police say that this was gang-related, they believe. And it's just really it's shocking that, you know, such a thing would occur at even a funeral, of all places. You're just not safe anywhere these days. Reading, Pennsylvania, a security officer was shot early yesterday morning at a nightclub. Police say that he is in stable condition. Also in Lancaster, California, police there say that a security officer opened fire and killed a man who had a shotgun at Snooki's Gentlemen's Club. According to police, 2 licensed and armed security officers escorted the man out of the club because of a disturbance. He later returned with a shotgun, pointed it at the security officer who returned fire and killed the man. Police are investigating, but it looks like a good shoot to me. In San Antonio, Texas, over the weekend, police there say that 2 security officers at the Cypress Cove Apartments responded to a robbery attempt and were able to capture a man trying to carjack a resident. They handcuffed him and notified police, but the man escapes. I'm not sure if he escaped from the security officer or the deputy sheriffs, but he was captured soon thereafter by the Bexar County Sheriff's Office and charged with a number of outstanding warrants and faces the robbery charges as well. So good work on the part of those security officers. A lot of activity, a lot of armed confrontations happening. We had a number of incidents in the last month, but thankfully, thankfully, as far as we know, as far as what we have seen and been able to put together, there has been no security officers killed in the line of duty during the month of March. There has been a number injured, shot, stabbed, run down by motor vehicles, but thankfully none killed as far as we know. If you'd like to contact us anytime that we're on the air, you can do that at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. We'll be glad to answer any questions you might have or share any information that you want to submit to us, whether it be news or a training event or anything that's happening in your area. Feel free, if you're listening later on by demand, to send us an email as well, and we'll be sure to answer you. You can also follow us 24/7, 365 on the Internet, anytime, day or night, simply by going to our main website at www.privateofficer.com. Right there from our main page, you can click on our link to our radio programs, and all of our programs are cataloged, and they're there forever and ever and ever. Amen. You can also link right there to our Facebook page from privateofficer.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. If you follow us, as about 500 or 600 people do, you will be the first to get the news updates, to get the broadcast, to get the officer down reports, because it all goes through Twitter first. Twitter is also linked to our news blog, so you'll be the first to know. You can also become a member of our own personal forums at the Private Officer Forums right there from our main website. Follow us and check out our news. Be part of our Facebook page, our Twitter, everything that involves Private Officer you can get to from our main website, www.privateofficer.com. We're also looking, as always, for host and for guest. If you'd like to be a guest on the radio program, either the Monday night or the Wednesday LP Zone, which is all about loss prevention, just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. If you'd like to be a co-host and you'd like to take over the show for an evening or a day, just tell us what you'd like to talk about. Give us a little synopsis, and we'll be in touch, and we'll get this thing scheduled for you as well. We're also looking to expand our Private Officer Radio Network, so if you would like to have your own radio show, well, that's also possible. We're also looking for folks to have their own radio show here on the Private Officer Network. It's one of those things where we can help you with it. We'll train you how to do it. We'll even help you with putting it all together. Of course, you know, we ask that you come up with the subject matter, the content, but we'll help you with that if you're interested. You can have a 30 or 60 minute radio program right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Just let us know. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com, and we will help you to get on the air. If you've always wanted to be on the radio, you've always wanted to have a radio show, well, here's your opportunity. You'll benefit from having a base of listeners already. We have thousands of listeners here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, and it will give you an opportunity to get your message out, as several folks have already contacted us, are interested in doing. But, you know, it's a pretty cool idea. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. I just got an email from a gentleman who wants to know if he has to register to be part of the virtual trade show and jobs fair. Yes, even if you just want to be a visitor, even if you just want to see what's happening, if you want to attend, you still have to register because we'll send you a link to the virtual trade show on that day. So register at www.privateofficer.com. And you'll be part of an exciting event at the 2012 Virtual Trade Show and Jobs Fair. And that also brings me up to another point. If you want to send in your job openings, if you're a company and you want to have us to promote your company job openings, you can do that free of charge. We will list all of your job openings. Just send it to us. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and list them there, and we'll be happy to put them on the jobs fair for you. Woo! We've got tons of stuff going on. If you were listening a few, maybe about a month ago, you know that we are also involved in Women in Security, a brand new area of our association. And Tia Patterson, the chairperson, is involved. We will be bringing a new seminar for women specifically in the private security industry coming up in the next month or so, probably next month, because we've really got this month pretty well jam-packed of stuff going on. But if you're a female and a female security officer, well, hey, we got something for you. Just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Let us know that you're out there and that you're interested in participating. And we'll be holding some conference calls coming up and telling you more about what's going on in that arena in the near future. We also want to invite you to join our news email alerts. If you have not registered to be on the news alerts, go to our main website at privateofficer.com, and you can sign up today for free news alerts. We'll send you the news and occasional information about other things happening within the private officer international arena. Wow, we got a lot going on, don't we? Oh, boy, haven't even gotten to the news. We got tons of news to tell you about. We've got other events to tell you about, tons of stuff. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking soon with Sean Riley, founder of SafeCall.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Slow down.
And move over.
When you see light, best.
Or reflective. Please, give us some room. Slow down.
And move over.
We look out for you.
So look out for us.
Please.
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 Slow down.
And move over.
It's the law.
It's the law. It's the law.
right, we are back with you live here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We're excited, excuse me, to have Sean Riley coming up here momentarily. We'll be talking about the services that Safe Call in Seattle, Washington provides public safety and law enforcement, and now private security personnel, and the importance of having this available. We're seeing more and more incidents of private security officers having the same emotional problems, the same problems that public safety officers and emergency responders face, as private security are often put into the same position. We're seeing a lot more private security becoming involved in substance abuse, domestic violence, and even suicide. So hopefully Sean will be able to help us to sort through some of those things for you, and we'll be talking to him shortly. And also, I just want to remind you that, you know, as private security officers, you know, we all need to talk with someone from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're a member of the association, through our network of counselors and chaplains, we have a system for you where you are able to do that free of charge. So, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and connect with us and let us know that you do need some assistance. We're right now in the process of opening up a number of chapters. We've been going through this for a couple of years now, but we're very excited that we have several chapters that have opened up in the last month, several new chapters online to open up this month. You know, if you're in the Knoxville, Charlotte, Raleigh, Springfield, Missouri, Jackson, Mississippi, Jacksonville, Florida, Paducah, Kentucky, Spring Hill, and a number of other places, you want to reach out and contact us, because we have local chapters opening in your area. If you're interested in opening a chapter, it's very simple. First, just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com, and we will help you from there. Good evening. You are on the Private Officer Talk Radio. And our call has dropped again, so we're having issues. Just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com/chapters and listen to the little audio clip that's there, and then contact us, and we will help you through the various steps. There's not that many to open your own chapter. But we're excited about the growth of our chapters, excited that many people are interested. We just had contact from Branson, Missouri today, and it looks like we'll be opening one also in Branson, Missouri, beautiful place there in the Ozark Mountains. So, you know, it's just a chapter is very important, essential to being able to get out into your community, getting not only the word out, but being able to provide the services that we provide to the security community in your metro area. So if you'd like more information, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. Tony just sent me an email, and he wanted to know a little bit about the Memorial Week. That is the third week of September, the third week of September every year. And we will have a number of ceremonies planned. We'll also assist you in having a little ceremony in your company or your area. It doesn't cost any money. We're not asking for big productions. We're just asking that during that week, the third week of September, that you do keep those who have lost their lives in the performance of their duties, keep them in mind, and just pay tribute to them during the Private Officer Memorial Week. But we will have more information about that in the upcoming weeks and months as we get closer to September. But if you're interested in getting more information, just send us an email, of course, to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. But we have a lot of stuff happening, and we invite you, if you're not already a member of the association, to join today. We have a number of discounts, as always. We also have tons of new benefits coming online, so we invite you to become a member. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and join today. We got tons of benefits. You know, we offer more than any other organization or association out there. I was speaking to someone last week who is a member of numerous associations, and he said, I can't believe that you guys are doing this for this cheap. I can't believe that you offer all of this stuff. I hope that people are putting it to use. And unfortunately, I told him, no, Chuck, most people don't really put it to use. But we do have tons of benefits, you know, and tons of reason why you should become a member. We have a great support system, a great training opportunity for you, lots of courses, seminars. Often we have conference calls that also provides training. We have a bunch of other services not provided by any association out there. Good evening. You're on the Private Officer Talk Radio. Hello? And we have dropped the call again. And hopefully they will call back. But we have tons of benefits for our members, and it's important that all the security officers nationwide, loss prevention or otherwise, get involved. Good evening, Private Officer Talk Radio. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Private Officer Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Is this Sean?
Yes, this is Sean.
Great. Sean, my name is Rick McCann. I'm the host of Private Officer Talk Radio. Thanks for calling in tonight. How are you doing?
Good, good. And yourself?
We're doing fine. I'm excited to have you on the air. I'm not sure how much information you were given, but Private Officer International is an international security and law enforcement association with members throughout the country and in about 33 other countries. And I myself have been in the law enforcement and security industry for 38 years, and I'm also a police chaplain. So when I found out about your organization and I found out a little bit about you, I really thought, this is definitely someone that I'd like to speak with and have our members hear about this great service that you folks provide out there in Seattle.
Oh, thank you. We really appreciate being on here.
It's quite a story that you have. If you don't mind, I know that every time you get interviewed, they ask you the same questions. But can we start just basically by telling us, you know, a little bit about yourself and then what led you into starting this organization?
I was a police officer for almost 20 years with the San Diego County Sheriff's Department and the Kirkland Police Department up here in the Seattle area. And, you know, just like most people, I wouldn't say most people anyway, I'll count for myself, you know, young, hard charger and patrol. And, you know, we had choir practice, you know, very frequently after shift. I mean, that's just the way it was when I started law enforcement in 87.
Exactly. And when you say choir practice, for those of you know, who aren't familiar with that term, you're talking about getting together and partying and drinking and that type of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, commiserating together, bonding. You know, I guess that was the appropriate way to bond at the time. And so, you know, I was always a pretty heavy drinker, but, you know, my drinking progressed as the years went on. And in 1999, I was going through a divorce as a result of my drinking and, you know, the turmoil I was causing within the family, which is just really not uncommon, unfortunately, in law enforcement or first responders or, you know, any field like that. It's a very high divorce rate. And I thought the way to maybe get my marriage back together was just to stop drinking and, you know, stop you know, doing what I was doing, and I tried to do that on my own, but, you know, being an alcoholic, which I didn't know at the time, there's no way I could do that. So I changed gears, and I really got into bodybuilding because I wanted the edge, and I wanted to be better than everybody else and stronger, you know, just like, I guess, what a, you know, my mind would envision what a police officer is supposed to be. What happened, I got the results that I wanted, and then at one point, my body started breaking down because as I was getting those results, I was carrying more weight, I was carrying more muscle, I was tearing things apart, I was having hernias, I'd have shoulder surgery, and, you know, being in the weight room the next day, you know, just ripping things apart, it was just really pathetic and out of control. But once I had surgery, I got introduced to Vicodin, and for some odd reason, that's just what chemically connected with me, because, you know, I didn't have to worry about my problems. I didn't have to be in the dome. I didn't worry about bills. I didn't do any of that. I just got to escape, and lo and behold, it became the only thing I knew and what I could fall back on. And I was investigating one of the first ever elder abuse homicides in the nation. I was in the hospitals frequently getting the search warrants, and doctors interpret the medical records for me, and they saw me have these surgeries, and I knew how to manipulate that system, and they start writing me prescriptions, but I never told each one that I had multiple doctors writing me prescriptions, and my chief didn't know what to do with me, and he ended up turning me into the DEA, and I was indicted by the federal government in 2005.
This is, you know, a situation that I'm really familiar with personally, because I have several friends in law enforcement and one who is an ER doctor who have been injured, and they eventually got hooked and began doctor shopping and getting scripts just like you, and eventually were arrested by the DEA. So.
Yes.
The story is, you know, very similar. And, you know, you don't start out thinking, oh, I'm going to be a drug addict. I'm going to get hooked. I'm going to be a substance abuser. You just start out wanting to curb the pain and continue your job. And before you know it, you've gone over the line. And you're
hooked. You know, I tell people this frequently, if you know, on that prescription bottle, if it would have said, as soon as you take this first pill, you're going to violate every moral and ethical thing you ever stood for in your life, wipe out your entire family, get to the point where you're going to commit suicide, I would have said you're absolutely crazy, but that's exactly what happened.
And, you know, people don't understand that point. Unfortunately, if they could probably see down the road before it happens, maybe they would, you know, not take that first pill. I know it's tough to have to go over your story over and over again because, you know, it's not probably the highlight of your career. And so I appreciate you actually bringing that out. But I wanted you to tell folks a little bit about what happened because of where you are today. And looking at the organization that you have and the work that you do is phenomenal. So tell us a little bit about Safe Call. Tell us about how you came to put that together and what it does today for the public safety industry.
Well, first of all, I want people to know that I did plead guilty. I mean, they should know that because, you know what, I was guilty, you know, and boy, I was going to try to manipulate that system on my way to treatment, too, until my father confronted me and, you know, said, at what point in your life do you accept personal responsibility for your actions and take your lumps like a man? Everything was over then, and it was just time to step up and quit being a hypocrite. So I went to treatment, and once I got out of treatment, I was sentenced to 3 years of probation, and I got off probation early in two. And what I did is I went back to school for chemical dependency counseling, and I went and I was supervising operations in a treatment center. And what did I see? I saw police, fire, corrections, military, I mean, anything associated with first responders coming in, and everyone had the same story. Fear, didn't want to look bad, we're the ones who always help everybody else, is it going to end my career? All those things, exactly, you know, the same thing over and over. And I remember from my story, I went to employee assistance, and I you know, talked to a person and contacted them, but I was interviewing them as much as they're interviewing me because I needed to know where their information was going. And like in your guys' profession, when you talk about like private security or private law enforcement, that's a wide gap that can do everything from, you know, monitoring, you know, something that probably doesn't have a lot of risks to, I'm assuming, all the way over to something where you guys are being in Iraq in law enforcement, which means you have top security clearance and, you know, you have all that kind of stuff. You're not coming forward if you got a problem for the most part. And I was speaking to this person, trying to be as general as I can here, and they didn't know anything about the profession whatsoever. And
right.
They told me I just needed to cut back, you know. And at that point in my life, I was taking 30 Vicodin in a day, and there was no way. I knew I couldn't cut back. I knew I was just too far gone and trying to solve it on my own. And, you know, then I was union president, so I wasn't bringing it forward. But then you sent me to Fitness for Duty. And, you know, this is just my experience with Fitness for Duty, but right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, it is perceived that that is your first step out the door or to get, you know, fired, you know, when they check your mental health. But I was able to beat that system, you know, every single time. And you know, I tell people, you know, this is another pathetic point in my life was, you know, I'm in active addiction, so I'm already, you know, pathetically an outstanding liar and manipulator at the time. But you got to remember, you sent me to every interview and interrogation and homicide school in the United States of America. I am going to beat you because that's what I do for a living.
Right.
And I did at the detriment to myself, but I said to myself, if I could beat it, then I know other people can beat it. And it's not going to help them if they do. So I went to the lieutenant governor of the state of Washington and told him my story. I cold called him, and he said, what would you like? And I said, you know, $500 and a cell phone, because all I was looking was someplace in the middle there where I could have talked to somebody that understood the profession. And I didn't care who it was. I just wanted somebody that understood what the job was. I didn't care if it was a firefighter. It wouldn't matter to me in 2 seconds. But all I wanted to hear was there was hope and there's a way out, but you're going to have to work. That's all I needed to hear. And he said, well, I think you're thinking way too small. We need to pass a law that guarantees confidentiality of anything when people call records, which we don't keep records or anything, but any call that is the guaranteed confidentiality or any chance of retribution for calling to get help. And in 2009, we passed that law in the state of Washington. But what we didn't realize is since we kept the phone number in the state of Washington and the phone system sitting here, it ended up protecting the entire United States. Because northern
right.
state has to pass the legislation, because your law can't come in and override our law.
Right.
So now we can guarantee you that. Yeah, we can guarantee you confidentiality and privileged communication.
Exactly. First, I want to point out that I really appreciate that you wanted to take responsibility. We seldom, you know, we're human. We seldom want to admit that we're wrong or that we screwed up or that we violated the law and the trust that we have taken the oath to uphold. And I guess that's really the first step in recovery, you know, is admission. But not everyone turns it around to become a plus in their life, and that's something that you've been able to accomplish. You recognize that there was probably a lot of other people out there in the same situation as you were, and you reached out and began to see what you could do to change things. And having been in this industry myself for 38 years, like I said, I'm in law enforcement. I'm a police chaplain as well, have been for a number of years. I'm also an EMT firefighter. This runs the gamut across the public safety and even private security industry. There are many folks out there in crisis mode who are undercover. They don't talk about it. They don't reach out. It was really, up until just recently, something that you just didn't do. You know, you never cried at the scene. You never spoke to someone if you were having a problem at home. You know, it was what it was, and you just didn't tell. You just did your job and tried to get through it. But we're finding that people are beginning to reach out. People are talking to chaplains. They are reaching out for professional substance abuse assistance And so that's why I really think that your organization is at the right place at the right time. And I'm excited to know more about it.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that has made us successful is, you know, we don't always come out, we don't come out and say, you know, we're the cure-all by any means. Our success is working with others and partnering up that have the same mission statement, not reinventing the wheel, and getting the people to help. I mean, when we put three heads together, we're going to serve people even better than we did before. We've been very, very fortunate, and we're always going to help, and we love partnering up with people to even give better help. And actually, that's where I was in Boise, Idaho. I just flew back into Seattle today, working on an aftercare program for first responders that's just totally comprehensive with the families. And we're really excited about that because we're going to take this to the next level and get everyone healthy.
And that's the whole key right there. You know, when an officer or a firefighter or EMT is having a problem, it doesn't affect just them. It affects their whole family. It affects their children, their wife, their girlfriend, or whoever. And even further down the road, it affects even more people. It affects the people around them. So, yeah, if you can get an aftercare program together that, you know, involves everyone, you're going to be able to probably have a much better chance at a full recovery, a full assistance program. It's just going to do a much better job. I just want to let you know also, you were talking about how security probably is, has the whole gamut of access controls all the way to military. Actually, Sean, there are 3.6 million private security officers in the United States today alone. Last year, 36,000 were assaulted, 114 were killed in the line of duty.
Wow.
Also, private security in 14 states have law enforcement authority. They actually make arrests, they're commissioned, and they go through the whole law enforcement gamut of investigation, prosecution, and they see the thing through the court system. And what we're seeing is there was an old adage way of doing business in the security industry years ago called observe and report, where it was kind of, you look, you watch, and you call the police if something happens. But that has been changed over the last, probably since 9/11, but maybe before, where private security are more proactive now. They are responsible for challenging an offender, apprehending, detaining, arresting. Loss prevention officers last year made 1.7 million apprehensions, detentions, and arrests themselves. They stopped 1.7 million shoplifters. And what we're finding is as security is becoming more proactive and getting more involved, just in the last week, security officers have killed 5 people that were armed. And last year we had, in our tracking, because we've been tracking the statistics for the private security industry since 2004 when we began, last year we had 13 security officers commit suicide on the job that we could actually document. We're sure that there were others. But because the media doesn't report all of them, and often they don't report their actual job, we can only document, 13. But we know that suicides among private security is on the rise. They're having the same type of problems as other public safety officials. They work the same hours. They often are the first responders and see the same things. So, yes, some private security guards are at a truck depot or at a shopping mall, but others are involved in patrolling highly violent, high-risk areas such as, housing authority projects and bad neighborhoods, and working, where many police departments don't want to go. And so we're seeing that security officers are facing some of the same things that public safety officers are as far as substance abuse. Divorce rates are increasing, and suicide. So that's one of the reasons why I thought it would be beneficial to our association to kind of reach out and see how we could, get involved with y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys, you know, I kind of equate this to parking enforcement. You know, when we first started this, I never thought about this situation. But you know, with the cities, a lot of times, you know, the parking enforcement's out there, and things happen in front of them before the police ever see it.
Right.
And they can get very traumatized. You know, I didn't put two and two together. You know, we learn. And you know, what you guys do, you are first responders. You are emergency services personnel. Absolutely. That's what you do. So is this program for all of the private security? You better believe it 100% and their family members.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah. And,
I don't think a lot of people realize really the extent of what security officers are involved in. You know, they see the old guard of 30 years ago and they see the silly movies that come out, like, you know, has come out over the years about mall security guards, you know, and things like that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The characterization is not appropriate.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about having worked crisis intervention centers myself and taken many calls at all hours of the day and night. Tell us a little bit about your center and your counselors. And I understand that many of them have been or still are involved in public safety.
Most of them are still involved, but we work with, you know, we'll never ever turn anybody away, but we deal with hired, fired, and retired and their family members. And our call takers are the same, hired, fired, and retired, you know, that have been there and kind of done that. So when you talk to somebody, you're going to talk to somebody that's either in police, fire, corrections for the most part. That's actually, we have one call taker in private security too. And that have kind of been there, been through the situation, and it's going to know how to handle it. But most importantly, they're going to connect with you. And you know, I think that's important. I remember back in my situation, if I could have just talked to somebody that knew what my job was about, well, we have those people. You know, the next thing is it going to be confidential? Yes. I mean, that's what I was asking next. And, of course, now we've got a law that protects everyone in the U.S. And you know what? When you do come forward to get help, you know, there's a lot of people think about, you know, I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to lose my job. But, you know, what we do know and what I do tell people is self-reporting is probably your best friend. If we can get you to self-report to get help first, there are so many laws that kick into place, to include the American with Disabilities Act, where you cannot be fired if you have, you know, a mental health, a substance abuse situation. And, you know, you still come, your HIPAA comes in, the Health Care Portability
right.
Act comes
right.
in, so all those things. And then you've got a 42 CFR. I know it's kind of technical, but what I'm saying is all that stuff you put on to go out there and protect the public and where you serve during the day, you know, what do you put on when you go home at night? Well, here, guess what? This is the law. These are the things when you call us that are going to save your life. And we do it every single day. But, you know, the one thing I also want to mention is we do handle more than just mental health and substance abuse. We usually handle everything from, you know, babysitting to suicide, because the law allows us to. And, you know, finances have a huge impact on people.
They
you know?
Sure do.
And you know, quite frankly, also I wanted to mention is, you know, sometimes the family member may be the person that's having the actual crisis, but is going to have a huge impact on the employees. The employee might not have a mental health or substance abuse problem at all, but somebody within the family could. And you know what? It still affects them and impacts them on the job, takes their mind off of things. And you know what? That's what we're here to do and help. It's for the family.
It does. You're exactly right. As a workplace chaplain, I can tell you that many times the employee is not the person having the problem, but it is affecting their work. It's affecting if they get to work. It affects their productivity at work. You know, it's on their mind. They can't just leave it at the door and go to work. And sometimes we do run into those situations where it's the child or the wife or the husband who's actually having the problem, but the employee, you know, is suffering at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Your call center is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
Yeah, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, it's ironic whenever I go out and speak, I always tell people, hey, if you guys could have your crisis, your personal crisis, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. West Coast time, that would really be appreciated.
It would be great.
But, unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. You know, we're here for you. And, you know, what happens is if you, you know, people go, well, why don't you have an 800 number? And, you know, when I first started this, you know, I had $3 in the bank account at the time. And because when I first started back in working in chemical dependency, I remember going back to work for $8.25 an hour. So it was a good experience. But 800 number is just too expensive. And then after I put some people in the treatment and started receiving some calls, I told them I was going to go to 800 number, and they said, no, don't do it. I said, really, why is that? And they said, because we felt we were going to get a phone tree if we called an 800 number. You know, it was going to be impersonal. And, and you know what? It's something I never thought of. And so we kept it 206 number. And, you know, I listened to what they have to say. But, you know, the thing is if all of a sudden you do leave a message, you know, the reason is probably because the call taker's out on an actual call. We're very fortunate in this state that we get the support of the departments of our call takers that literally they will let them pull off the side of the road, check out a service, and deal with the employee no matter where they are in the country.
Well, that's excellent. I also understand that you also have a network of that you're working with where people can actually go to see someone in their state.
Oh, absolutely. We work with Foundations Recovery Network, who has a network within themselves, and we also work with Southworth and Associates. And between these two organizations, they have the most comprehensive network and they help us build what we needed to do. And so, for instance, you know, how is SafeCall now going to help the person in the northeast far corner of Nebraska that might be a five-person department?
Right.
Well, we needed to find that resource. And, you know, when the lieutenant governor, one of his main motivators to pass this legislation was, he says, we put them out there and break them. It's our job to fix them. And he says, you know, sometimes I don't get too worried about the Seattle PDs and the Chicago PDs. He goes, although they need help, but, you know, they've got very, you know, large unions and they've got things in place and everything will work fine. And we work with those organizations extremely closely. He goes, I'm worried about that five-person department out in the middle of nowhere that has nowhere to ask for help. And that's why he specifically passed the law. And he's right. You know, what about, probably 90% of all police departments are 50 employees and less, you know, in the U.S.?
That's correct. And some are much smaller than that. And, in fact, I was reading an article a few months ago. Actually, I think it was toward the end of last year. The majority of police departments have under 25 employees.
Yeah, so I knew it was small, but what do we do with it? What do we do with fire? What do we do for corrections? What do we do for private security? You know, who's going through a contract and one of the things they're cutting in private security may be some portion of the benefits to include, you know, access to an employee assistance program. You don't have that. You'll have medical health and all that kind of other stuff, but, you know, they're cutting that because of budgets and stuff. Where do you go? Well, you know, you got to take a call now. Call and talk to someone here.
Unfortunately, Sean, most private security, there are two types of private security. There's in-house or proprietary, and there's contract, which is agencies who, you know, contract with the company to provide their service. And the majority do not have any benefits at
all.
They have no medical, no health care, and they don't have an EAP program. They don't even know what an EAP program is.
Wow, that's bad. Well, then they still need to call us so we can work with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Exactly. There's just there's not a lot of benefits for these type of people. I was going to tell you, too, with the volunteer fire departments, most fire departments are volunteer.
I found that I was in Washington, D.C. at an International Association of Firefighter convention just here last week, and they advised me that there's 36,000 fire departments in the U.S. and only 4,000 are paid, so the other 32,000 are unpaid. I don't realize that. No, I had no clue.
Yeah, the majority of firefighters in the U.S. are volunteers that, you know, work other jobs and are on call 24/7 and risk their life every time they go out on the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Sean, I appreciate the time, and I just wanted to see if you had maybe any other suggestions that you can give. You know, one of the things that I think is still a misnomer is that no matter if you're in law enforcement or security or in public safety, that you're really, you're the strong person, you're the person that people look for help, and that you shouldn't be a crybaby and you shouldn't have to seek help if you're having problems. But that really is just not the way it is. I mean, we all have problems. We're all human. We all feel the same things. And obviously there's a lot of hurt out there, and everybody needs to talk to somebody at one point or the other.
You know, absolutely. None of us ever got better. We're now, I was just looking at some stats today, but I think we're right around 302 in the inpatient treatment in just a little less than 3 years, far above our wildest dreams. You know, so we're creating the pathway out there. And I always tell people, I always thank them for calling us just because, you know what, at least they had the guts to do it and get help. I was the guy who did because I had a lot of pride, I had a lot of ego, I could beat this thing, and I tell you what, it ended up, you know, putting me in indictment to all the way to getting ready to commit suicide because, you know, I was too strong for that. You know, I look back today, and if anybody tells me asking for help is weak, I'll argue it 4,700 times because those are some of the numbers I have. And if you know something more than we know, then you need to tell us a secret so we can help the rest out there. But I know you don't have it. You know, asking for help is courage, bottom line. And that's what we implore. You know, get help because you know what? You're going to have a happy and healthy life and family and career. And why shouldn't you deserve it? You're out there serving everybody else. You know, you got to take care of yourself too.
You know, it's one of those things where number one comes first, and that's just one of those things where you have to think about you first. And you know, I know a lot of people are afraid to come forward when they have different situations, especially substance abuse, but you have to. That's where the healing begins. That's where everything starts. It's step one. You have to first admit that you have the problem, and then you have to make that call. You've got to, you know, like you said earlier, self-report, you know, tell on yourself, get some help before, you know, someone comes knocking at your door.
Yeah, and correct. And you know what? Let's find out. I love to make sure people, you know, because people think they'll call and, oh, my gosh, we're going to put you in the treatment, you know, right now. You know what? Let's come up with a plan. Why don't we assess? Let's see where the person really is at because, you know, I thought I was really good at self-diagnosing. Obviously, I wasn't, but we all pretty good at that nowadays. But why don't we let somebody do it over the phone and let's get, you know, a baseline brief assessment. Let's just see where the person's really at, and why don't we set up a plan to get this person better and get their family better, you know, and let's see what that looks like. You know, there are some cases where there, you know, there are exigent circumstances, and we will move somebody right here, right now, within, you know, 10 minutes. We'll start the process. We'll have them, you know, on a plane moving, but that's the rare cases. The majority of it is we get to sit down and take a look at, you know, what does it look like? What does the family dynamic look like? You know, what do the finances look like? Everything else, how do we help, you know, comprehensively help this entire family unit? Because once we help the family unit, I guarantee the employee that comes back to work is far superior to anything they saw before.
Definitely. And, you know, everyone's situation is different, so obviously you're going to handle it differently. You know, the assessment's going to be different. They may be having the same problems as someone else, but their situation is going to be different, you know. The
Correct.
Makeup is different.
Correct. You know, and that's what we're here to do is, you know, how are we going to get you the best help possible when you call? And we're going to steer you in the right direction. And, you know, there's times where I've seen people call us because, I don't know, they're in their investigation for one thing or the other. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen in investigations. You and I both know this, but sometimes you get put out on an island and who you thought you were a friend was maybe not your friend. And but, you know, life doesn't work that way, you know. As far as I always tell people, you know, in this first responder business, people always say, I got your back 24/7. You know, I remember saying that in the academy. And the reality is, no, you don't. No one does. If you do have someone's back 24/7 and you have a family, then you're neglecting your family. I can tell you that right now because that's not the way it works. You know, you have their back for 8, 10, 12 hours out on the street. You better believe you do. But when you leave, you also have a life. And, you know, it's important for people to understand that. So, I mean, if you really, really care about getting people help, you know, you need to get them to us.
Well, as an organization, we're certainly going to do that, and we'll be talking with Julie, I believe that's the director there.
Yes.
And we'll
yes.
be talking with her, if not this week, next week, about getting connected with you folks. And, you know, this is something that we've tried to do since the organization began in 2004 on a smaller level. We don't have a 24-hour call center, obviously, where people can call in. But we know that people are in crisis, as anyone else, and especially in the last 3 or 4 years as finances really have been hurting. And private security don't get paid much anyway, so, you know, they're really suffering. But I definitely, when I saw this this organization, I definitely knew that we wanted to get involved with you.
Well, thank you very much, because that's what it's about. It's about teaming up and helping others, you know, because us joining together and working together, look how many more we're going to be able to help. That's the name of the game for us, is how many can we help.
Is there anything else that that you want to tell us in your
just make sure our I don't know if you mentioned our phone number, which is 206-459-3020, and then our website is obviously www.safecallnow.org. You know, the other portion is we are a private nonprofit. We're 100% tax deductible, and any donations are appreciated. You know, we look at it. We usually ask people, can you give $1 one time a year? You know, invest in yourself. Would you pay $1 to save your family member's life? And you and I both know the answer is yes. That's all we ask for, $1 to save somebody's life.
Exactly. Give me the last 4 digits of that phone number, Sean. It was
459-3020.
3020. Okay. You're right. You know, organizations such as yours and any real crisis intervention or suicide prevention, they really are a great source of help. People don't use them often enough, but I think that we will. I'm going to get the word out, and like I said, I'll be speaking with Julie further on this, and, you know, I'm glad I came across it.
Well, thank you so much. We so appreciate this opportunity to work with you guys.
And Sean, maybe when I call in, if you're there, we can have a chat off the air, and we'll go through some other things.
Absolutely. When you give her a call, I'll be here.
All right. Thanks for calling
okay.
in, Sean, and you have a great night.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Sean Riley, the director and founder of Safe Call, a crisis intervention and suicide prevention service based in Washington State in Seattle area. And that's one of our new benefits that we will be bringing online. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. With us on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, and we're moving right along. We're always looking out for you, the private officer, the private security officer out there on the front line, the true new first responder. And as an organization, as an association, we're going to do everything in our power to provide you the tools, the service, the training, and the support. And having a great organization such as Safe Call on board with us to give you an opportunity, to give you a chance to be able to speak with professionals whenever you have a crisis nationwide, free of charge. Someone who will be able to assist you is going to be a huge benefit. They have counselors on call 24/7 in their call center. They'll be able to assist you in a much broader way than we can. But we're adding new services all the time as a benefit to our members because we care about you. We want you to be educated and trained and prepared for every aspect of this job. As more and more security officers are involved in tasks that are greater than the observe and report. You know, as I mentioned to Sean a moment ago, over a million apprehensions and arrests and detentions of shoplifters last year alone. Over 1.5 million. That was just in loss prevention. Over 2.5 million involvements with security apprehending offenders. Private security are, you know, in this day and age, are doing many of the same tasks and duties of public safety, not only law enforcement, but emergency medical responders. Many security officers are the first to be called to a medical emergency. If you're working in an office complex, a shopping mall, a department store, a college, university, you are going to get that call. You need to know what to do, number one. You know, you need to know first aid. You need to know CPR. You need to know how to work the AED. You need to know how to work all of these things. But moreover than that, you're going to have the same effects. You're going to have the same feelings. You're going to have the same situations put in front of you as any other public safety responder. You're going to have those down times. You're going to have those times of depression. You're going to have those times of feeling, well, maybe life isn't worth living after all. You're going to have those financial issues. Goodness gracious, God knows. We have those every day in the security industry because we're not paid near enough. I don't know personally how to change that. Because in order to do that, you have to change the mentality of every contract service out there. You have to change the mentality of every client, every end user of the security industry, and that's going to be a difficult task. So in the meantime, we have to work with it. We have to adjust. And part of that, we'll have to deal with mental health issues. It'll have to deal with the way that we take things, the way that we deal with things. It's very discouraging as an organization to know that thousands and thousands of security officers don't get the recognition. They don't get paid. As I was telling Sean a moment ago, they don't have benefits for the majority of the industry. Employee assistance program? What in the world is that? But if you're a member of the Private Officer International Association, you have an EAP. You have an employee assistance program. Not only something that you can use, you know, for financial situation, for crisis, but for any time you need just to talk. That's one of our benefits. We have a network of counselors, chaplains, and now a national program that's for public safety. Let's just face it. The private security industry is changing. Many people don't want it to. Many people don't want to acknowledge it. Many people have a hard time facing it, but it is. And with it will come a lot of different good things and a lot of different problems. And so as an association, as an organization, our number one responsibility is to you, the member, and then to the security industry. And we're going to do everything that we can to assist you in all aspects of your job, of your duties. That's why the month of April is so important to us. The month of April is when we give out national awards to the security officers who have made a good arrest or apprehension, who has put forth extra effort in their duties, who is dependable, who has put their life on the line, who has provided first aid, who has been involved in educational things within the security industry. All sorts of officers nationwide and worldwide are doing good things, and it's time that they be recognized, and that's what POI does. That's what the month of April is all about. And believe me, when we induct this next group into the Private Officer Hall of Fame, it's not just something that we take lightly. It's not something that we're doing because we have no other things to do because we're bored. We take it serious. And we take the Private Officer Association serious. We take our job serious, our duties, and what we're doing. Oh, I can tell you there's been many times when I've just wanted to give up. You know, there's times when people say what you're doing doesn't make sense. You're not making a difference. We've had a number of security companies over the years who have told us there's no need for what you do. There's no need for you to share that information. There's no need for you to do that training. There's no need for you to get that news out. There's no need. Yes, there are. There are needs. Over 30,000 injuries and assaults last year, 114 security officers dead. Yeah, there's needs. There's reasons. And that's why we do it. We hope that you will take advantage of this new benefit. We hope that you will let us know if you're having a situation, if you need assistance. If you're not sure what your benefits are as a member of the association, email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com. And if you're a security officer and you're not a member yet and you need some assistance, you need to talk with someone, we'll be glad to talk with you too. Just let us know. Email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. There is a note that I need to let you know about tonight. The Nashville, Tennessee chapter will be meeting their next time. We'll be meeting at the Cumberland University. Cumberland University, that is in Lebanon, Tennessee, right off from Interstate 40. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, we invite you to come out to the chapter meeting. You don't have to be a member of the organization to be there, but we definitely invite you to participate and also join if you're not a member, of course, and we'd love for you to be out. The next meeting will be April the 19th, 2010, April the 19th, 2010. And I believe it's going to be at 7 p.m. Let me just double-check that for you to make sure that that's the correct time. But I know that it's going to be Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's at the Cumberland University Library Hall, room 115. If you'd like more information, call Trina at 615-533-6448 or send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We also have chapter meetings happening in Charlotte, Richmond, and several other areas. Be sure to be part of those. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com if you'd like more information on those. We have a lot of things that we're doing. I just got an email from Kent, and he was asking about a few things that we have been talking about for about a year. You know, we have lots of things that we want to do and lots of ideas. We come up with things every day. But we need your support. We need you to get involved. We need for you to be part of what's going on. And if you don't hear from us, we want to hear from you. You know, we get very busy here at the private office or international offices, and we're on the road frequently. And so, you know, we're not always sitting around the office. So if we miss something, if we mention that we're going to start something April 1st and we don't, send us an email. Let us know. Say, hey, what happened to thus and so? What happened to this idea that you had, this service that you were going to begin, or whatever? It's not that we forgot about it. It's not that we are bringing things up and, you know, not bring them to fruition. Maybe something's happened. Whatever. Just contact us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. There's a lot in the news to tell you about tonight. We told you a few of the breaking news items. Go to our website at www.privateofficernews.wordpress.com. www.privateofficernews@wordpress.com. And you can find all of our news. It's updated several times a day. And, you know, you'll be amazed at all of the involvement in the private security industry, who's doing what. Most people just don't realize it. They don't understand. And when you tell people everything that the private security officers do, everything that they're involved in, they're amazed. They're like, huh? Really? Seriously? Yeah. They did this. They do that. People don't understand what private security is all about today. Maybe they never will. But we're still going to keep on pounding it in their heads until they do. We are glad that you have joined us on this Private Officer Radio talk show tonight. Glad that you listen in. Like I said, we really are excited about everything that's happening here at the Private Officer offices. We're excited about being able to partner up with SafeCall. Again, if you want to reach out even right now, if you're having a problem, a crisis, a situation, it doesn't have to be a crisis. Maybe you just want to talk. That number was area code 206-459-3020. And just let them know that you are calling your security officer and you need just to talk with someone. Don't forget to register for the 2012 Private Officer Virtual Trade Show and Jobs Fair. Go to our website at privateofficer.com. Sign on and register to become either a guest or a participant, or maybe you want to be an exhibitor. $99 for non-members and $59 for members. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be, it's kind of unusual, I have to admit, but other industries have used it for quite some time. So check it out. Go to www.privateofficer.com. I also want to tell you that we are we're putting together some new seminars. And we're scheduling those right now. If you would like for us to come to your company, your school, your business, we have more than 20 seminars that we do. Send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com or just adminassist@privateofficer.com. I guess we'll get it. adminassist@privateofficer.com. We have a lot of great seminars that we can do for your hospital, your school, your business, your security agency. One of the best ones that we have is a use of force and force continuum, and it's an actual hands-on, skill-based, scenario-based training. And it really is a great thing. Everyone gets involved in a number of different scenarios. And I don't know of any other organization that does this for private security. So check it out. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We didn't have time to wish everyone a happy birthday, but we do want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, happy birthday to everyone having a birthday. And by the way, there's another reason why April is special to us. If you're a member of the association, you may know. If you're not, you can guess at it. But if you do, send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Why is April so special to us? Let us know what you think it is. radio@privateofficer.com. We also have a number of positions that we're hiring for. We're looking for a marketing manager for magazine and radio advertising sales. If you are interested and you have experience, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Include your resume and your salary requirements. We're also looking for a part-time social media director, someone who will help us in our social media aspect of the business. And again, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Thanks again for joining us on this edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We will be back with you on Wednesday on the LP Zone. Don't miss it. Until then, be safe, be blessed. We'll see you right back here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network.